Paul Hughes is an old friend, an old co-laborer, many years here in the city of Birmingham, and I know him and trust him. On fire is not sufficient to describe the passion that both him and Jared.
Is Jared still in
it? Yeah, and Jared Fonseca is a young man I just met recently, and again, on fire doesn't really describe the passion that these men have and integrity, all of those things that we look for. I've been looking forward to this for a while, to have Paul and Jared come. And again, Paul, it's really up to you how you do this. Yeah. And we're just totally open to the Holy Spirit. But we want to welcome you and bless you as those that come in the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 So. Amen. That's for my height. Do you want to get out? Do you want to get out there?
Yeah.
Okay. Make sure this is
good.
Yeah. There you
go. See how far we can go first. Okay. We're going to steward the words that have already been spoken into the air. Particularly a couple. I felt like when Jonathan was talking about sort of the rumbling beneath our feet, there really is a well that wants to spring up out of you, out of each of you and collectively all of you, out of your hearts. And in this place, there's a well in Fairfield. In the very air and land and water and everything right here, there's a potential energy. There's a potential of the Holy Spirit to just shift things tectonically out of the earth. And then at this time, because God has already put the faith to believe that this is a holy moment. This is a day from which this body is going to be flowing for years, even into the return of Jesus. And what I particularly wanted Jared to pray, lead us as with all the freedom God gives you, bro. As he was praying over me before the service even began, God wants to give a spirit of wisdom and revelation to really see his inheritance. His inheritance is very, very, very precious to him. And wherever we go, and I mean all of us when I say that, from this day forth, God is going to actually give us his spirit of wisdom and revelation to contend using your heart, your mouth, and I mean the third graders, the kids that just left. Even though they're not in the room, they may be the most important people here. Because one of the things, and I'm going to give the mic to him in a second, but one of the things that some of us were praying for over the Christmas break was a third grade awakening. And one of the girls in our van on the trip home from this event, she was sort of asking, what is it about third graders? Why was this whole group of 20,000 people contending for a third grade awakening? She was hearing third grade. But isn't that beautiful how God loves to trick our minds so that we'll actually begin to pray for third graders to be awakening? for the 9-year-olds to be awakened. So Jared was praying over me that he already sees this, the Lord's inheritance over every person and every patch of land on the planet. It's all his inheritance. And he's actually given us the spirit of revelation where we're the ones who move things. And it's time to repent of thinking the devil can do anything to stop it. So you guys already, God's already brought you that far. That's amazing. And there's actually a third grader in Ferguson. I'm going to ask Jared to pray for him specifically and for a third grade awakening. Some of us in our van, we were coming back from Kansas City 2 days ago, and we stopped in Ferguson in St. Louis. Had encounter after encounter. But when we went to Canfield Green, the apartment complex where Michael Brown was shot and laid for 4.5 hours in the street, there's a memorial there. It's mostly teddy bears, kind of a mound of. And Jonathan was there, and there were 5 of us. We were praying, and there was a man that one of our team engaged as he was walking by the memorial, and he wanted to give us not just his name, his first and middle and last name. It's Douglas Major Lane. He has 2 sons, and I just knew one of them was going to be a third grader. And he was. And that's Douglas Major Lane Jr. He lives in those apartments where Michael Green was shot. We're praying for the next generation. We're praying for a third grader awakening. Pray for Douglas Major Lane and however the Lord leads you.
Just even before we pray, I just want to encourage, as I always do whenever these moments come, is that it's not spectating, you know. I know I can very easily drift into that. But just to, God, I just ask you to open our hearts even this moment and release just a spirit of prayer and intercession that you as the Trinity consider yourself all 3 persons, intercessors. So we are birthed from you, so we are too. So I just want to ask everyone to give ourselves to that reality right now. So Father, God, we just lift up Douglas right now. God, and we say that the spirit of this age will not lay hold of him. God, we say that he will not be another young teenager that goes through the cycle of sexual immorality, that goes through the cycle, God, of unbelief, that goes through the cycle, God, of just continual degradation and sin. God, we say that him, even as a third grader, will be awakened to the realities of who Jesus is. That as a third grader, God, you would give him, God, visions of what his life will look like, of what his family's life will look like, of his neighborhood, God, of his city, his region, his nation, and the nations of the earth. I pray, God, that you would lay hold of him even right now as we pray. Grip his heart for realities that go beyond, God, of what the culture says he can do. That he will not be a young black kid that goes just to the usual routine of going to school. He will not be one that goes to the usual routine of seeing TV and media and saying, that's what I'm going to be. But you would raise him up, God, as one who looks into eternity, who looks through the eyes of Jesus and sees what God has called him to be. And he will walk in the reality of the destiny of Jesus Christ for his life. I thank you, God, that him as a young man, he will begin to hear the voice of God clearly as a Samuel, God. He will be one, God, that begins to give himself to the place of prayer at a young age. He will be one, God, that will give himself as a Daniel to pray and fast, God, to break the bonds of wickedness, to remove the chains of sin in his generation. God, I am asking you, raise up Douglas, God, not just as one who will be a voice of the oppressed, but be a voice of God and have the vision of heaven for oppression. God, I pray you would raise him up to be a one in his school, God, that says what thus says the Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you would use him, one, to lay down his life for other young men, God, and friends to come behind him and give themselves to the things of the Word. God, I ask, Lord, that, Father, from that neighborhood, you'll use Douglas as one that will bring the voice of truth, God. He will be one that brings forth God's vision of justice. He will be one, God, that raises up the voice of the Lord as a standard to all those around him trying to hijack God's justice. God, we say in Jesus' name, it will not be the same for Douglas as it is, God, for so many, God, around him. We say, God, you will raise up older men, God, black, white, Hispanic, fathers, God, teachers, Lord, principals, police officers, who will rally around him and his generation, and they will give themselves to mentoring, God, to raising him in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You will raise up, God, and break the generational gap between Douglas and those fathers around that region. God, I say, Lord, you are doing something. You are raising up, God, the reality of what is going on in Ferguson to shake the church from their apathetic stance. I pray, God, use this situation, God, in St. Louis, God, to awaken the church to who we are in you, to our reality, God, as intercessors, to our reality, God, as laying down our lives to see the fullness of God released in a generation. We say, God, release that fullness, God. Let the spring birth, God, from the place of hatred and racism. You'll raise up the Father's heart in love, and it will be a river that flows to the four corners of our nation. God, raise up, Lord, a third great awakening in our nation. Raise up, God. We say inhabit our churches once again. Let the pulpits, God, once again be aflame with fire. That once again, God, would raise the voice of God in our culture, in our society. We say, God, my generation, the 20-somethings, will give themselves, Lord, to the colleges. They will be a habitation for the Lord. That we will give ourselves to laying down our lives for our teenager, younger brothers and sisters, for our third graders, God. We are asking, Lord, for another wave of revival. We are asking, God, for another wave of revival. We say, do it again, God. Do it again, God. Why not here? Why not now? Why not now? Not in our hour? Why not in Fairfield, God? Why not in Birmingham? God, a place that is known nations to the earth, God, for hatred. God, I say, break the back, Lord, of the propaganda that the people of the nations use in our region. We say, repackage this area, Lord, of love, God, of the Father's heart, and then shoot it to the nations of the earth once again. We believe, God, that what you're doing in our city, what you're doing in our region, God, what you're going to do in Selma, what you're doing in Montgomery, what you're doing in Alabama, God, what you're doing in Southeast, God, what you use, God, Pastor Youngi Cho, God, in Seoul, Korea, to point to the Southeast region of the U.S. God, we say we want the fruition of that prophetic word. We say, God, let wells spring forth from this area, God. Uncork the wells, God, of prayer that the civil rights era dug, God. Uncork, God, the wells, Lord, of the Pentecostal movement in our region, God. Uncork the wells and release the fires, God, of revival. Release the fires of awakening. Release the fires of intercession. Let pockets, God. Let pockets, God, of intercession begin to arise. That, God, truly your house would be called a house of prayer for all nations, God, all ethnic groups. God, in this moment, Lord, where there is such hatred brewing, God, in the surface, let your church feel the urgency of the hour that Jesus is coming soon. And he is coming to do away with those who are not standing in agreement with him, God. Shake us, the church, to stand in agreement with your son for the issue of justice, God. I say, God, restore the plumb line of righteousness, God, in the church once again, that our measuring rod of justice would be sure and true. God, awaken us again as the church to, God, stand before the counsel of God. Mark and hear his word, that we will not be prophets of the deceit of our own hearts. We'll be prophets with the word of God upon our hearts, that our lives, God, will be that of Hosea, and prophesy the word of the Lord to a generation. We say, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Thank you, God, for the fathers of this house. Thank you for the sons and daughters of this house. We ask, God, for a generational alignment, God, of our nation again. God, no longer will the two look at each other at odds, but there will be a father's heart. Release, God. Release the Malachi 4:6 reality in our land, God, that you would break off the curse that has so laid hold of America, God. And I'm asking, Father, you would raise up sons that will be sons to fathers, and fathers that will be fathers to sons. God, I am asking, Lord, but a synergy of the ages to break forth in our nation once again, God. I am asking, God, we are standing on the shoulders of those forefathers that have gone before. Let us be one, God, that plow away, God, for the generation coming behind us, Lord, that this revival would be generational, God. That this awakening, God, will not break short, God, because there is division, but there will be something that perpetuates and grows until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Awaken us, God, to a vision of your return that changes everything of our life, that changes everything of our prayer, that changes everything of our church, that changes everything of our family, God, changes everything, God, of our business. God, awaken us. Give us revelation and vision, God, of what these patches of earth will look like when Jesus comes back and reigns and rules on earth. Lay hold of us again. God, we have need of a laying hold of our lives. Break off the selfishness of our hearts. God, we will give ourselves to the dreams of your heart. I ask, God, that you would invade our lives with something greater than our own personal destiny. You would invade our lives, God, with the Holy King coming. Make us prophetic witnesses of a king and his kingdom to come. Let our lives no longer, God, be what it is. That we will not hide ourselves, God, in the sand, in the closet. But we will give ourselves, God, to standing. Let the burden, God, of the intercessors fall upon us, because that's who we are. Let the weight of eternity hit us. Let the urgency of the hour, God, disrupt complacency within our hearts. God, I want my kids to live in revival. Oh, it's the nations are raging. The culture is raging. The accusation of the enemy goes forth day and night. Day and night. God, raise up, God, a church and a people, God, that will pray day and night. Day and night to combat accusations of the enemy. Let us no longer judge, God, the word by our experiences and our feelings, God. But we say, take your word, brand it upon our hearts. Disturb our spirits. Let us no longer just give ourselves to the comfort of our individual standing with you, God, and neglect, God, the burning and the desolation of what's around us. Give ourselves to this place of prayer, that we won't have people running around just getting stressed out because the church is not praying. Awaken me. That the families, God, will be altars unto your name. That our third graders are being raised in the house of prayer that's called the home. But I invite
invites you. Shatter our paradigms. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and ruin our perspectives and our mindsets, God, that make us so apathetic and disconnected to the realities of your heart. God, us as leaders, God, as pastors, as ones that give leadership to your body, God, grip us again with eternal reality. Remove us from this temporal age. Say, we agree with what is in your heart. So I ask you, Lord, starting today, in this moment right now, put your finger, God, on every heart. Mark us again. Oh, there are people in this room that used to have this unsettling thing inside of you that would not go away because it was the finger of God saying, you cannot be like the world, like the culture. I believe God is awakening us again to the DNA of eternity that is within our heart, and that we will live as such people. Do it in us, God. Open up our chests, God, and put fire upon our hearts again. I believe you're going to do it right now. That from this moment forward, I ask, Lord, that there will be a restlessness and uneasiness about our lives that we can't shake. I charge you right now. By the authority of the Lord, I charge you right now. Do not succumb to the spirit of this age. Families, I tell you right now, I just got married a year ago. So naturally, I disqualify myself. But the Spirit of God, I believe, is... Do not succumb, families, parents. Hear me as a son. Do not succumb to the pressures of this world of making these technology idols in our homes, of letting your children get away. I'm telling you, this is my reality of how I grew up. And I ask you as a son, your kids want Jesus. There's coming a day where when you teach your kids the words of God, it will be wrong. Do not bow to the trumpet sound of this age. God, I am asking for deep roots for parents right now. I'm asking for fathers and mothers, God, strengthen their resolve, God. Give them an internal fortitude to stand, God, against the wave, God, and the ocean, God, of compromise, God, that is coming after them. Give them an iron rod within their back that they will not bow and kneel to what the world is calling them to. They will not succumb to the pressure, God, or the spirit of Babylon, Lord, but they will stand and raise up Daniels of our day that will be able to change the entire climate and nature of a nation. I bless them, God, as a son. I bless their leadership, God. I say, God, give them great wisdom. Give them great insight, God, on how to deal with their children and how to raise up those that would be the same, God. I bless you, parents. I bless you. God, if you could feel my heart, I honor you guys. And some of this, man, I think that right there, some of it, I think that's kind of been going in your hearts right now. It's been a little time where you've kind of been wrestling with how to go about, you know, kids want to fit in, yada, yada, yada. God, I ask the Spirit of Joshua, that's for me and my house. we will serve the Lord. And then it said the generations following after he was gone, they still followed the Lord. I ask God for that generational transfer, God, of parent to son. God, I bless Paul. His son Gabe is here, God. I ask that what you have even in this house, Lord, release it, God, upon us, God. Release the greatness of God upon our families. I just want to forerun just real quick for Paul. I just want to encourage us. Give our ear to the voice of God. If you don't understand it, I encourage you, while he's talking, say, God, speak to me. Pray in the Spirit if you have to. I just want to encourage us to not make the mistake of just engulfing ourselves fully in just our individual stance with God, but hear God's view and perspective on our region and what God is calling us to as to believe. If the people of God who are called to pray don't hear the voice of God, who will? There is so much hopelessness and confusion in our land. Who else should know the word of the Lord if not for the people that God has called to stand in his counsel and to hear his word? For if my people, gotta pray for Paul. Paul, you could come here. Gabe, can you come here? That's Gabe, Paul's son. God, I just bless this father-son relationship. And I ask God, though things, God, I know how things are with my pop. There's so much working out of things, God, but there's a reality of a deep root love that is only from the Father of God. So God, I ask that your father heart would be released tonight, God. And even as they stand embracing, Lord, I am asking that you would release that to this house in a greater measure than they already walk in. And that you would penetrate our lives, God, that as we leave this place beyond this building, God, that we would give ourselves to our houses being altars of incense unto the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know, Gabe, if you could just pray for Paul.
Amen. God, I just ask that you would come and speak to us this morning through my Father. I'm just excited. I don't know, God. I'm just excited whatever you're going to give to us in this moment, in this place, at this time, through my Father. I trust that you're going to speak and you're going to meet with us. You're going to visit your people. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for that. I just thank you for that imagery of the gospel being brought out in the midst of us and read to us. And that's your heart, God. You come into the midst of your people. You are that God. You are the Emmanuel God, the with us God. And I ask that right now, even as my dad's preaching, you would be the with us God in this place. Just bless him, anoint him, touch him. In Jesus' name.
Don't go. I wanted you to come back up. I really want before I speak. And Gabriel, you're still good to go when you need to go. There's actually my son is a pastor of Hope Culture Church, and there's home groups meeting. Or there's one that's just meeting at 11, right across the park. In a home next to the old Lloyd Nolan Hospital. And it's actually owned by a young man who was on my InterVarsity Christian Fellowship staff team at Miles College. He lives in Atlanta now. But Ahmad Jones really, really had a vision for that home to be a house of prayer here in Fairfield, and it is. And so you're going to go join that prayer meeting or whenever that is. And let me just say this too. Alton Hardy is planning in Fairfield. He is an amazing prophetic apostolic voice for Fairfield and a generation. And his church meets at 1 o'clock. And spoke at length with Alton yesterday. I actually want y'all to pray for Fairfield. I feel like, you know, what God is doing in Ferguson and Canfield Green Apartments and in Douglas Major Lane, you know, needs to happen right here with the sons and daughters of this community. And so, come on, Mom.
Ooh, gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We bless and we praise you. We honor your name, God. We thank you, God, for your presence. We thank you, Father, this morning for the manifestation of your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are in charge, God. But we lift up Fairfield, God. You see, God, the areas, our areas around the church, Lord. Not only just around the church, but the people here and there, God. You, God, move, Lord. We move in the name of Jesus. We claim a victory, Lord. We claim high Fairfield for God. We claim it up and down the cities, Lord. We bind spirits of murder. We bind spirits of wickedness. We bind spirits of gospel. We bind spirits of just discord and discord that's among the brethren, God. Yeah. We ask your Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way, Lord Jesus, that we'll be a light unto the city, Lord Jesus. We ask you to move and just have your way, God, in the name of Jesus. We claim, hallelujah, we claim, even Restoration Academy, Harmon and our sticking at the even the young children, the third graders. I even go back to the third graders, Lord. Even our babies, God, that walk around, Lord. We ask your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, that you work and move in a mighty way, God. Turn this place upside down, Holy Spirit. I see it. I know that you're going to do it. Bring them, Lord, from the north, Jesus. East, west, and south. Bring them, God. Bring them forth in the name of Jesus. Bring them to yourself, God. Hum that we speak peace. Humming and I sticking it in the heart. Peace over. Oh, peace, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus, a difference to God. Humming and I see you work, God. In every area, every dark corner, we say that we cancel. We're not even talking about you today because you're already gone. Yeah. We claim the victory. Holy Spirit, you come forth and work. Bring forth, God. Bring it forth, Lord. Come forth and bring forth, God. In the name of Jesus, even the body of Christ, God. Wake us up and I stick it in the heart. Cause us, God, to be a fully aware, God. And I see in prayer, God, day and night, God, in the name of Jesus, we claim it done, Father, in the name of Jesus. Wake us up, Lord Jesus. Help us to know, God, it's just not, we're just not coming for a show, God. Humming and I see warfare, God, in the name of Jesus. We're real, Lord. But when you say we are more than conquerors, you have raised us up. We are seated right now in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already, humming and I see, already seated, God. Help us to recognize, Father, that we're already seated in you, God, and that the battle is not ours, but it's yours, God. Yeah. Oh, but help us to do our part in the battle, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Help us to fight. I'm going to seek it and hire for our children, for the babies, and for our families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Of those we say, many times we say they're not saved, but Holy Spirit, your word said, God, that you, me and my household, God, at all whatever generation, God, we claim it to them to come in the name of Jesus. Help us be that light, God. Bring forth, God, to help us to be the light that bring them, Lord Jesus. Close our mouths, God, and let us only speak the word, God. Let us only speak the word. And you speak in the name of Jesus. Well, help us to speak your word, God. We have your word down on inside, God. Help us to speak your word, God. Bring it forth, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we claim it. Ooh, we claim souls, God, for you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for one. We see them coming, God. Harmony and they coming, God. Yes. They coming, God. Hey, they coming already. Coming, God. Because you are bringing them forth, God. You are doing the work right now, Lord. It's out of our hand, but it's in your hand, God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in the name of the body of Christ. And thank you, we're going for. Help us to know, Father, that we're at war, God. Hey, we're at war. Help us to fight the good fight of faith, Father, because you're in us, God. Greater is you that's on the inside of us than he that's in the world. In the name of Jesus, you're inside, Lord. We thank you. We're claiming Fairfield and we're claiming the surroundings for you, Lord, in Jesus. In Jesus' name. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus.
Would somebody get her some water? Just, yeah. And one reason why I wanted Casey Fonseca to pray is that when God sent them to this area from Montgomery, they were looking at different places to move and to purchase a home, and Fairfield was one of those, and who knows where the Lord's going to land this couple. But, you know, Casey submitted to the desires of others to, like, well, you know, maybe hold off on Fairfield and look at this and look at that. But the burden of the Lord is clearly on them for the children, and particularly here in Fairfield. And so let me just say something. This is not the preliminary to the preaching, okay? In fact, I'm going to ask you to stand, because this is the preaching. Jesus is the prayer leader. And so, you know, we just saw how he's our defender, right, from Jeremiah 31. He's the anointed one. He's the one who's got my back, your back. He's got us. It's not how loud or eloquent words are. It's, do they agree with Jesus? If they agree with Jesus, that prayer is already answered.
Father, I just honor you. I honor you, Father. I honor you, Jesus. And I honor you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just bring our hearts before you today. Lord, in intercession for the children. Lord, the children who have mothers and fathers who are struggling. The children who don't know their mothers and fathers here in Fairfield. Lord, the children that play in the park. The children that play on the streets. Lord, we intercede for them. God, I pray, Lord, that their precious little hearts will not be discouraged. I pray, Father, that their hearts would not feel alone or left or abandoned. Lord, it is so clear in your word that you have a heart for the orphans and the widows, Lord. And so we just lift up the children of Fairfield before you. Oh, God, would you send fathers and mothers to pray for them, God? Would you give each and every one of us in this room a heart to pray and lift up the next generation, Lord? I pray for the teachers at CJ Donaldson. I pray for the teachers at Robinson Elementary. I pray for the teachers here at Restoration Academy, Lord. Give them hearts for your children. Yes. God, that they might not be a generation that would raise without fathers and mothers. Lord, but that they would be children who know who they are because they know who their God is. So I pray, Father, just that you would raise up more people like Erica and Tim Fry, Lord, who care about the children. Lord, would you raise up more Grace House Ministries, Lord? Would you raise up more people who are willing to take in the children and feed them and clothe them and pour into their spirits the righteousness of the Lord and the Word of God? Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just give us all sobered hearts, Lord, when it comes to the generations after us, Lord, that you would remind us that our life is but a vapor. But your glory still wants to be seen in the earth, Lord. So I pray, Father, that we would do our parts, Lord, and plant seeds into the next generation. And plant seeds into the next generation, Lord, that we would give them the word of God. That we would give them the word that will sustain them and keep them in the darkest hours, Lord. I pray for the children. I pray for their hearts, Lord, that they would be open to receive you. Lord, that you would visit them in dreams and visions, Lord. That they would hear others speak about you and speak your name and be intrigued and wonder what they're talking about. Lord, I pray that you would protect their hearts, their ears, and their eyes from the evil one. Lord, that he would have no place to sow or plant any evil seeds in their hearts. Lord, I pray that the next generation here in Fairfield would be ones who easily forgive the hurts of their past, Lord, that they would not be offended, that they would not walk in bitterness of heart or hardened heart, Lord, but that you would just give them hearts that easily forgive, Lord, because they know that you forgave them and that you sacrificed your life and poured out your life on Calvary, and you shed your precious blood for the covering of their sins and so that they might have life abundantly. Lord, let the word go forth to the children. Your heart is for the children. Let it go forth, Lord. Give us all hearts. Give us all your hearts, Lord, for the children. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray.
Amen, amen. You can, if you can, be seated. I do have a word. I hope I'm not going to take long, because really I want to just sort of, I don't know if you've ever seen How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Jim Carrey version. Anyway, God speaks through. Movies are the parables of our generation. God is speaking through movies, right? Well, anyway, there's this scene where he's in the mailroom. He's the Grinch, you know, and he's like, jury-dewy, you know. And he's throwing people's mail in the wrong boxes just for the fun of, you know, messing everything up, right? Well, I'm going to be throwing some invitations out. I don't know who's going to get, I don't know. But I actually want to give a biblical kind of, it's really kind of an obscure reference from 2 Samuel chapter 20. It's when the nation is in civil war and Absalom's revolt has just been put down, and Joab was one scary dude. David's general. I mean, if David even appointed somebody else, he'd just take them out, which is what he does in 2 Samuel 20. Amasa has been sent to do some stuff, and David's back in the palace going, I don't know where Amasa is. So Joab has gutted him and laid him on the road, and then, you know, so who's going to follow me now? And they follow Joab, kind of drag Amasa's body. This is the Bible, you guys. This is like, you can make movies, really good movies of this stuff. They kind of, you know, because the guys following Amasa are kind of like, they're not moving with Joab. So they drag his body in the field and cover it, and so, you know, they can move on quickly. Because now they're going after another guy named Sheba, who's like, you know, who's with me? You know, we're going to take up Absalom's complaint. And Sheba's hidden himself in this town called Abel something, something, something. And so Joab don't play. And so he's already building the ramp, you know, the siege. That he's, you know, going to take out the whole town because of one guy. Sheba. And what's beautiful about this verse is there's a wise woman in Abel. We don't even know her name. Just that she was a wise woman. And so she says, all right, Joab, let's talk, let's parlay. This town has an inheritance. For generations, people in Israel would come here to get an answer from the Lord. Why would you take out the Lord's inheritance in this town? This woman was bold. I'm pretty sure Joab's reputation precedes him, and plus they're building their siege ramp. He melts. He's like, whoa, Mom, far be it from me that I would take out the inheritance of the Lord that's in this little town. So just give me Sheba's head and we'll go away. It's gory, but it's not as gory as it would have been. And so this woman goes and talks to the leaders of the town, and pretty soon, boop, you get the picture. Sheba's head comes flying over the wall. The deal was done. Everybody's good. Call it a day. David's throne is now uncontested again. And Joab, maybe he was the Malcolm X of his day by any means necessary. I don't know. But do you know that that's the issue again 50 years later in America? Whether the Quran or the testimony of the Bible is the word of the Lord for this nation. In Ferguson. In Selma. In Fairfield. Is it by any means necessary? Or the church still has the answer? A praying church is the answer. Or did you forget what the praying civil rights church of Birmingham, Selma, Montgomery did? And the whole world took note that the message of Dr. King was better than the message of Islam. We're grateful for Bishop Demetrix Roscoe in Titusville, who has opened his church for our Mega Street prayer room to function. And he often will say how in prisons and in all over the world, Muslims, particularly black Muslims, will use Selma, Birmingham, Montgomery as bywords to recruit particularly young black men to the cause of the sword. They're not going to want to talk about Selma, Birmingham, and Montgomery after God gets through with this region. I'm here to tell you, they're really not going to want to talk about Selma anymore, Birmingham anymore, Montgomery anymore. There is a regional transformation that's happening right now. That's part of the rumbling. It's rumbling. It's down in there. It's not about me or you. It's our lucky day. We just happen to get born here or move here. It's the inheritance of this region. God bless Maribel, but I have a little bit of an issue with the Dalai Lama preaching demonic doctrine of tolerance and kindness in Regent's Field. And people paying good money, some of them hundreds of dollars, to listen to it. Meanwhile, there's a worship tent. And I like the guys. I went in the tent and they're doing their sand mandala and they're, you know, they're sweet guys. But if you go with the back of the tent, you know, kindness, you know, tolerance. The candles are in front of very demonic pictures, images of demons, and in the middle is the Dalai Lama with, I mean, they're praying to him. And so our mayor, for him to call another man his holiness, I kind of have a problem with that. But it's not his job. As a Christian, it is his job to know better. But only the church can preach Jesus. Where is the church in Birmingham? Why are we so silent on the issue of Jesus is King of Birmingham? He's the God of this city. He will fill Legion Field, or he will fill Regent's Field. He will fill the largest venues in this city. If we, who are called by his name, humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and pray, then he will hear. That's the thing. See, we have to get rid of all the defilement so he will hear our prayer. It really is it, Mom. So I really, you know, my wife has a case if I'm harsh with her. Because then God won't hear my prayer. Or if I frustrate my children. It does start in the home. He's really watching the conversations. The tones of voice. The looks that could kill or the looks that could really empower. He's really watching. So his zeal is to build family altars. All right, so here's the... Chuck Jones, your bishop in Selma, has already, you know, been talking about the many revivals on the ground in Selma. If you've ever heard him speak, he's talking about it. So, well, they've already, along with other churches in Selma, said yes to a 22-day prayer tent in the spirit of a Ferguson 22-day prayer tent. Because friends of ours in Ferguson had a 22-day prayer tent from October 4th to October 24th. And they are going to help us launch this one in Selma on March 15th to Easter Sunday. We're praying for Riverfront Park right there. I'm calling a fast. I'd love for you to join us. I'm going to particularly call the church in Selma to a 22-day fast. Not during the tent. We need our strength then. But I'm preaching there next Sunday. Actually, we hope five churches will hear some of this message. That from 2-2, February 2nd, really starting on the evening of the 1st until February 22nd. But just to make it easy to remember, from 2-2 to 2-2-2. Those who are called are going to fast and pray. And you're fasting for you. You're fasting for Fairfield. This is the Gadite anointing for charismatics that like, you know, phrases like that. Gad was the tribe that fought for everybody else's inheritance before they got theirs. That's just Jesus on the cross. He was fighting for you and me and our inheritances forever. And so there's something more pure about intercession for somewhere or someone else. Petition is when you're asking God for justice for you. Intercession is when you're asking God for justice for someone else. So I would love for you to respond to the 2-2 to 2-2-2 fast for regional transformation, which will birth global awakening. It's regional transformation for global awakening. Who would have thought the Black Belt of the South would be the seedbed for a global awakening? But God. So that's one invitation. The other is there's a YWAM team from Tyler, Texas coming Wednesday. This is Sunday, so 3 days. We still need some houses, some beds, some pews. These are comfortable pews. You know, I think that Living Church in Titusville is going to take maybe eight guys and the Brister's home and the Fry's home right over there. But we need some more places. They've got three 15-passenger vans. There's 42 of them. 18 guys, 24 girls. I don't want to administrate this. But if somebody out there wants to at least, you know, be our contact person, then you can take a portion of that group so that they don't have to drive their vans all over the city. If you're living in this immediate Fairfield area or know somebody who is that, because this team is going to be here for a week, January 7th through the 14th. And they're part of the shock troops that are going to go with us down to Selma this next weekend to let the church in Selma know God's not kidding. March 15th, when that prayer tent goes up and people who did the 22-day prayer tent in Ferguson are coming to Selma to launch it. They're going to be doing videos even, you know, like in the next 2 weeks to help us here in Birmingham understand that there is a baton. There is a fiery baton right out of Canfield Green Apartments that's coming to a neighborhood near you. And you can take this baton of intercession, the spirit of, yes, I care, I am my brother's keeper, and be a part of the answer or let it pass, and it won't go well for you in your home. Because it's right, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, but you know what? Your house is the city. It's not just enough that you and your kids know how to have good Bible studies and pray. When the kids in the streets here, a lot of them can't read that well. And so for real, you know, I'm thinking sometimes it's not the most relevant ministry that works. You know, you walk in here and you smell something that smells like God, and you hear some sounds that kind of sound peaceful, And you got some men in some weird dresses, but, you know, what's that? And then pretty soon it's like, whoa, you're like, without reading, you get God. If you believe that God's really in your midst, like we were singing, I know you do, they're coming. And it'll be a blessing. So that's several invitations. One for housing and food this week. Yeah.
Okay, we can keep 10 kids in this church for 7 days. Will they be here all 7 days, or are they going to Selma?
On the Saturday night, the 10th will be in Selma.
Okay, so we can keep 10 youth boys that can sleep in here if they want to do that, right? Robert, you can make sure they get in and out. Now, what we'll need, though, they have to be clean, and we don't have showers here. So what we're going to need is some people that live here in Fairfield. We want them to be clean, because when Bishop Chuck always wants us to smell good when we come to Selma. But we're going to need about two or three of your home people that have homes here in Fairfield that will say they can come and take showers at our house. So there's one. Oh, you can take three girls to stay at your house. Okay. How about some showers for the guys that would come to take a shower at night? Huh?
Jared will be the guy that you can give any details.
Okay. You have anybody like, so Robert, you can open your, we can coordinate it with Jared, and, you know, they'll be in and out fast, but again, Bishop Chuck loves for us to smell good when we come to Selma. So anybody that goes down there, he's going to love that. Anybody else that can let some guys take a shower in your house? No? Okay. I had told Paul, a lot of our people that live here, very open, do a lot of great things, open their homes to people, but they all have a lot of kids. And so sometimes things are a little hard, but we might can still work on that some. I don't know if the showers at the school could be available. I don't know. Maybe. Okay. Huh? One shower in the school. That could be. Ben is the executive director of restoration. He is. Another one. Okay, so you can coordinate that with Jared. Okay? All right, so we got pretty much some of that covered for you. Okay, you going to throw anything else at us?
Just real quick, because I know the Lord's table. In fact, the Lord spoke to me about how important he wanted to show up in this particular Eucharist. He really wants to. So I just wanted to say, be in prayer for the 2-2 to 2-2-2 fast. That will be digging the well of consecration for whatever God wants to do in that Selma tent for March 15th. It's really three spring break weeks. We're believing God's going to send a lot of young adults, on their spring breaks down to Selma to just fill that tent with worship and prayer. And then, you know, there'll be another room for food and fellowship and ministry. And we're just a couple blocks from the projects there in Selma. It's about the next generation. It's about the poor. He's not done. I mean, we need these gorgeous prayer rooms. We need the Eucharist more than ever. But we got to get dirty.
Amen. Amen. Well, Paul, thank you. This was the word that was on my heart. Let me tell you guys, some of the things that go on in our lives with our kids, our families, is because we're satisfied. We're okay. We're okay with, as long as we get to watch our TV programs, as long as we get to go to our football games, as long as we get to do with it, whatever it is, whatever that is, there's nothing evil about that. It's just that as long as those things are okay, then we're okay. We're even okay with the enemy stealing our kids. stealing our kids, I'm telling you, I'm not going to be satisfied. Not going to be satisfied. I'm going to pray for my kids every day, for the salvation of my kids, for my kids to be, I don't want my kids to be just, you know, Christians that go to church because they have to. I want my kids to be crazy for Jesus like these guys are, like these people are. I want the kids in this church to be crazy, nutty, nutty, crazy for Jesus. There's nothing less. Listen, there's nothing. There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there. I've tasted it all. There's nothing worth losing Jesus for. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Revelation 3:16. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Sometimes I feel like God has vomited me out of his mouth. Because you say I'm rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing, and you don't know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. We would rather our kids, our third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, high school, college kids, we would rather our children grow up to be wealthy, rich, popular, famous, happy and satisfied with the world than we would for them to be hot, on fire for Jesus, acting crazy, going and telling everyone in the world how great and wonderful, the best, greatest message that's ever been given. You are forgiven. You're forgiven. That's the greatest message. It's the easiest message in the world. And we need to shout it from the rooftops. And we need to pray and beg God. Beg him. Lord, don't let my children, don't let me be cold. Don't let me be lukewarm. Lord, I want to be hot for you. Hot. He says, I advise you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not be exposed, and ointments to spread on your eyes so that you may see. Lord, do you really want to see? I know the people of this church. I know you well. I know you. I know your heart for the Lord. But are you satisfied with your life with Jesus? Are you satisfied with where your kids are? Are you satisfied with where you are? That's why this is such an important day. We've got to decide that. What do we really want? What do we really want? And when we decide, we already know what we want, because we know when we're with God, when we're walking with him, when we're talking with him, when we're praying with him, when we're moving with him, when we're loving with him, when we're forgiving with him, when we're showing peace to others through Jesus Christ, we know that there's nothing better. There's nothing that'll take the place of walking with him, listening to him, hearing him, obeying him. There's nothing. There's no football game, no football team in the world. There's no concert. There's no band. There's no nothing. There's no TV show. There's no movie. There's no satisfaction that you can get from that better than the satisfaction you get from walking with the Lord, from just knowing him, from knowing the peace of God that passes all understanding. The peace of God that'll totally just destroy the power of Satan. Man, I'm sorry. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm as susceptible to this as you guys are, as all of us are. I went to see Paul not long ago, and to a meeting, and I heard him and Justin speak and some others. And I said, Lord, I just can't be satisfied with this crazy life that I have. That sometimes I'm off and on with you, Lord. I'm off and on with you. I'm lukewarm in my heart. I don't want that. I know better than that. I'm seeking the glory of God. Seeking the glory of God. And I encourage you. I encourage you all. Take this day, this time, here when we come together at the Eucharist. Take this time and say, Lord, no more. I'm not satisfied anymore. I'm not satisfied anymore. And don't take it that I'm saying that, you know, anything is bad that you do. I know I love all those things. I think we can love all those things. But I think that if we love those things more and we're more willing to say we'll go to a football game or we'll go hunting or we'll go to wherever it is we go, to movies, to wherever, to whatever it is. Name, just fill in the blank. We're more willing to do that than we are to spend 30 minutes or an hour and a half in day begging God to bring our children to a place where they know you, Lord. If we're more willing to do that, we're losing. We're losing. And I want this church, my church. Man, I love you people. I love you. God knows I love this church. I'm not going to be the pastor here very much longer. I can tell you that. Somebody else is going to come. We're going to cry out. We're going to beg God for a good shepherd that will lay down his life for the sheep that will come in this place and will love you and will love Fairfield and will love God and will love everything and will love the sinner, will love the saints, will love everybody, will love restoration, and will just say, lay down his life for the sheep. We're going to have that. But I'm going to tell you, more than anything else, I want this church to live out the legacy, the destiny that God put here so long ago. Lynn Gardner, 54 years in this church. Jason Addington, since he was 3 years old. 3 years old being here in this church. I want what God wants for this church more than I want anything in the world. Anything. And I'm telling you, if you'll get that, and you'll just determine, I'll be anything, but Lord, I won't be lukewarm. I won't substitute my prayer, my children. I won't substitute that for what this world has to offer, because this world doesn't have really anything that's permanent to offer us. Only God does. So, I just wanted to share that. Man, I'm going to tell you what, God loves you. God loves you, and God sent these people to us today. God sent us a picture. He sent us a picture of his kingdom this morning with these young men and women. People that love God. I know what they do. You know, you should never really invite a group to your church called the Prayer Furnace if you don't expect them to pray. So I'm thanking God, and I'm telling you, God has got so many things for us. So many things. So many things. And Patty and I, man, we've just been praying for you guys. And we pray for your marriages every day. We pray for your health, your healing. You know, we're praying together. I'm encouraging you. Pray together. Pray over your sons. Prophesy over your children. Prophesy over them. Pray for them. Don't give up. Man, this morning is showing me, like, the Lord wants us to just lock arms with him. He's sitting there. He's just ready to lock arms with us. Don, you know, your word was just so right this morning. I mean, there's no way that the enemy can do these things when we're locked in with God, when we're locked arms with him. I'm telling you, God's got some great things. This church, everything we've been through, and I can say this, and I don't want to offend anybody. We've been through hell for a long time. But God is doing it. He's refining us. He's saying, come and get my gold. Buy my gold from me. I'll make you rich. I'll make you rich. Okay, we're not going to have, we're just going to go, we're going to do a couple of announcements quick, and then we're going to have the Eucharist. I am going to have to leave a little early today. I had to leave a few weeks ago to go see my children in a play at their church, but people thought I left the church because you guys were acting so weird. But that really wasn't it. I told Don to tell you where I was. And that's not why I'm going to leave today. I have to catch an airplane, and I'll be in New York with the Patriarch and some other people just praying and doing some things there. And so I'm going to stay as long as I can, but I'm going to have to leave in just a bit. But I just want to thank you guys. And I just got to say, we got to lock arms with you. I want our youth to be locking arms. I want to be involved in prayer furnace worship. I want to just do more, Paul. And so, again, thank you. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, the rest of the team. God bless you all. Amen. So let's go ahead. And we're going to do two things. We're going to have...